shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians called to a higher level of understanding will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
The social, religious, and political teaching of today have brought our nation and the world to the brink of chaos. This Trinity has one agenda: to destroy white Christian civilization. Yes, there is a worldwide conspiracy to create anarchy in all white Western nations and reduce them to below third world status. The Antichrist Jews, through their absolute control of the media, print, TV, movies, the money, Federal Reserve and International Monetary Fund, and their world governments, directed by their satanic institution, the UN. All these are at work to blot out the name of Jesus Christ from every institution in a free white society. In the name of education, schools promote Darwinism, Marxism, communism, one-worldism, progressivism, abortions, homosexuality, premarital sex, race mixing, mongrelization, while all the time banning Christianity and the biblical principles of God's law. Nothing can stop this onslaught of evil except God's Spirit, causing our race to stand and deliver, "Thus saith the Lord." We're admonished in Romans 12:2-9. "And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good." You know, we're being stabbed to death today with daggers of forgiveness and tolerance. Contrary to what the modern church teaches, we're not to be forgiven and tolerant and have toleration of other religions and philosophies and socially perverted ethics and behaviors. Even Christian fundamentalists parrot, "Oh, you can hate the sin, but you can't hate the sinner." You know, this may sound good, but it's not what God commands. We're never to embrace these people and their evil ways, but are to be separated from them. Is it impossible to believe what 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 17 says? "Be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, 'I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.' Wherefore come out from among them, and be you separate, saith Yahweh, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you." All this pertains to people. For the fundamental teaching in the Bible is given us in Luke 6:43-44. "For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes." We need to understand that the fruit of the tree tells us what the tree is. And this old saying of, "You can hate sin, but not the sinner," is not according to the law of God. God's law says what you see in sin tells you what that tree is that's bearing. But these churches promoting their ungodly doctrine of forgiveness and tolerance, some of these crafty clerics will quote what Jesus said on the cross in Luke 23:34. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Who are the ones that Jesus is asking to be forgiven? You know, he tells you. These are the ones who were misguided, ignorant, and didn't know what was really going on. Today, they'd be the white Christians who are being led into the ditch of destruction by the hand of anti-Christ Jewish propaganda that's emanating from the pulpits of Christianity. How sad is this situation? It's time to grow up and be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Heed Paul's warning in Ephesians 4:14. God will never bless America until America blesses and praises Yahweh our God, the incarnate Jesus Christ. I may hope for what I don't see right now, but what I hope for is that Yahweh our Father will have compassion on our ignorant multitudes, as Christ had in Matthew 9:36, where it says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And again in Mark 6:34, Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. May Yahweh's Spirit awaken his offspring, our white race, to the liberating, light-shining power of his truth. Only this will end the present dark age of chaos, conflict, and confusion. Today's world is in turmoil because it's violation of God's laws. His holy word, his truths, are constantly ridiculed and held up to scorn, and the very thought of God is hateful to these Antichrist Jews, and they have made it become so controversial that the weak politicians, the weak people that are in charge of our education system, the weak people that are the leaders throughout all our nation, have turned and run from their onslaught. Let's look at what Jesus would be praying for on this cross when he asked, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You think he was praying for somebody like Judas Iscariot? You know, what do the scriptures say? Remember what Jesus said to his disciples. Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He speaks of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jerusalem, because the Jews sought to kill him. You know, Jesus called Judas, the son of perdition, in John 17:12. Matthew 24:14-16 states what Judas wanted. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest and said unto them, what will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Judas knew what he wanted and where to get it. Luke 22:2-6 describes more about Judas's meeting with the Jews to betray Jesus. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being one of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains, how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted with him to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. This devil bunch wants the same thing today, money, and has promoted the idea that getting wealthy is the American dream. Our forefathers did not come to this wilderness for money and wealth, but for freedom, freedom to worship Jesus Christ, freedom to live according to God's words, and freedom to live without enslavement to a dictatorial government. This was a new world, a land of opportunity, not for riches, not for money, but for individual rights and freedom. This was the beginning of a government and nation, the likes of which had never before been known to man. No, the American dream was not the love of money, which is the root of all evil, according to 1 Timothy 6:10. For then its end would be like that of Judas's. Woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had never been born. The account of the Last Supper in John 13:2-7 says, "In supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, and after the sop, Satan entered into him." Now, how absurd is it to think that Jesus' dying words would be asking forgiveness for a money-grubbing child of Satan, the son of perdition, a devil? According to the Bible, not all sins are forgivable. Read 1 John 5:16, where it says there is a sin unto death. You know, the church, trying to ignore that, has acted like, oh, they're really confused about what that really means. How plain is it? There is a sin unto death. Now, these boys don't want to hear about you can actually do something that would cause you to die. But yet, this is one of the fundamental principles that's established in Genesis. When God told Adam, "In the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die." Now, they don't want to hear about there are ways that will lead us to destruction. There are things we do that can kill us because they do not want to talk about the way that God expects us to live. They're not about to talk about God's plan under any circumstance and for any reason, because God's plan is contrary to their social agenda. God's plan is diametrically opposed to everything that Christianity stands for today, because Christianity has become nothing more than the propaganda tool of the Jewish conspiracy that is worldwide dominating the thoughts of all men's mind, the control of their finances, the control of their societies, and the control of their government. Now, there is a sin unto death. Now, what is that sin? Jesus, in Luke 10, says, "Unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven." And also in Mark 3:29, "But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost had never forgiveness." You know, you can read on in the next verse where it says what this sin is. "Because they said, he hath an unclean spirit." These Jews said that Jesus had an evil, demonic spirit. This is calling Jesus Christ a devil, and that is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Still more in Matthew 12:32, "But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." Go back to verse 24 to learn that this sin is saying that Jesus Christ has the spirit of a devil. "But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils." This unforgivable sin is calling Christ a devil and will not be forgiven now or in the world to come. Does this sound like hate the sin but love the sinner? I think not. Going back to 1 John 5:16, "There is a sin unto death," and the words of Jesus Christ let us know that when you do this thing, there's no forgiveness in this now or in the world to come. But who does these things? a very definite people, a race of people, and they will not be forgiven by God. They're not to be tolerated by his children. Not only did the Jews continue to blaspheme Christ by calling him a devil, but also they tried to kill him on numerous occasions. An example of this is turning your Bibles to John 8:48. Read verse 48, 52, and 59. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. You know, which could be the greater sin? Saying that the spirit in Christ was demonic, or trying to murder the very incarnated God in the flesh? This attempt on Jesus occurred again in John 10:31, 39, and 33. Read it for yourself. Then the Jews took up stones against him. The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. Now, the plot of the Jews to destroy Jesus, to murder him and kill him, is revealed in John 11:47-54. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and our nation. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, You know nothing at all, nor consider it that it's expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. Then from that day forth, they took counsel together to put him to death. Jesus, therefore, walked no more openly among the Jews. You remember when Pilate tried to release Jesus? It was this same murdering race of lying Jews that cried out, His blood be on us and on our children. You know, they've been trying to get out from under that verse from that day till this. They've been trying to claim, Oh no, we're not responsible for any of this. You know, Pilate went on to try and get Jesus released by reminding them of the custom at Passover that he would release a prisoner unto them. But these Jews had already convinced the people to ask for Barabbas. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. These Jews well knew what they were doing. They tried to kill Christ on numerous occasions, had hatched up a murderous plot, had hired a traitor, had created a bunch of bogus charges, had spread slanderous lies and incited a riot. They were a devil race, according to Jesus in John 8:44, where he told them, You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and a father of it. Being the seed of the serpent, the children of the devil, Satan's offspring, they acted true to nature. They were doing the deeds of their father through lies and murder. Their indictments given in Matthew 23:32-33 and verse 35, when Jesus told them, Fill you up then the measure of your fathers, you serpents, you generation of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth? From the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. You think God's forgiving this race? Do you think God's tolerance is for this people? this murderous, bloodthirsty, lying band? I think not. This bunch knowingly did what they did with full premeditation. They had the people convinced that they were the ministers of truth, but in reality were the very opposite. Paul exposes their scam in 2 Chronicles 11:14-15 when he warns us, and it's no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work. I don't see God's forgiveness there of this group. I don't see God's tolerance there of this group. And yet, that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be forgiving to everything, tolerant of all this that's going on today, and be good little Christians. You know, today these Jews have passed off their self as God's chosen people Israel and have told the white race that their father is the devil. These are Jewish fables that turn from the truth as stated in Titus 1:14. And the Jews will never cease to spread their lies. They know that if you say anything long enough and often enough, that it'll be believed. And once believed, it's accepted as true, even though it's an outright lie. But we know that their end will not be God's forgiveness, and they will not be shown his toleration. There is no hate the sin, but love the sinner here. There is no toleration or forgiveness for this race of devils, these blasphemers, these murderers and liars. Their end shall be according to their work. Be not deceived, God's not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6:7. Responsibility of actions is what everyone wants to flee from. No one wants to be responsible for how they act. No, let's go with the good sounding platitudes, the lies and doctrines of men that tell us, oh, everybody's fine. God forgive everybody. God loves everybody. When in actuality, the scriptures teach the very opposite. Jesus' dying words, not for those perpetrators of evil that full well knew what they were doing. Judas and his Jewish brethren are guilty of Christ's murder. They were not ignorant, misguided people caught up in the emotion of the moment. They blasphemed Christ, the Holy Spirit of God made flesh. Through lies and slanders, they incited a multitude of deceived people to blindly follow their nefarious plan. Now, God will never forgive Satan, the devil, the serpent, or his children. And Jesus would never pray for such an absurd thing. But he was praying for the ignorant, misguided multitude that were being led astray by vehement Jewish propaganda. This is exactly what's going on today. The ignorant, deceived, white race is being led to the slaughter pen in the deadly grasp of the lying satanic seed of the serpent Jews. Thankfully, no matter how hard they try, their hellish schemes will not stymie or frustrate the plan of God. These Jew terrors will be gathered in and bound into bundles, as stated in Matthew 13:30. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Read it in Matthew 13:43. This is our birthright as the racial sons of God. It's our daily prayer to our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, who was it that Jesus would be asking forgiveness for? There was a group of men that followed him called disciples who did not understand what he was about to do. And that was to go to Jerusalem and die. An example of this is found in Matthew 16:21 through 22, where it says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto you." Also in Mark 8:31 through 32, "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days raise again. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him." In John 16:32, he tells his disciples, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man, and shall leave me alone." Do you remember at the Last Supper what Jesus said to them in Luke 22:28 through 34? "You are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in the kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou hast thrice denied that thou knowest me." And not only would Peter deny him, but also all the disciples would run away. When this Last Supper was over, Jesus and his disciples sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. Then said Jesus unto them, "All you shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the flock shall be scattered abroad." Matthew 26:31 and Mark 14:27. You know, they were wanting the kingdom to be established then. They wanted to get into power, and they wanted to exercise that power. They didn't want to hear what Jesus was about to do. They didn't want to hear about him coming into Jerusalem to die, to be killed. No. They didn't want to hear what Jesus was telling them. And because of that, they didn't hear. They didn't understand. You know, every one of his disciples did flee and abandon him. He would not see them again until he was hanging on the cross. These men, they didn't know what they were going to do. They would have never believed that they would forsake Jesus and run away. But they did. Looking up at Jesus on the cross, they heard him say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That would be like a knife being plunged into their heart, cutting to the very soul. And yet, at the same time, the healing regeneration of forgiveness. There were others at the crucifixion. Luke 23 gives an account of those who were present, and all his acquaintances and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things, verse 49. Remember the thief? You know, he received this same forgiveness, even though his life had been ignorantly misspent, verses 40 through 43. The Romans, they were at the crucifixion and now realized what was going on and who Jesus was. Look at verse 47. "Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, This is a righteous man." Who else? Verse 48 says, "All the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breast and returned." Understand that the population of Jerusalem was not at its normal size. This was the feast of Passover, and there were Israelites who came there out of every country to celebrate this holiest of all feasts. The city's population mix was entirely different. The capital was like ours today. The main population in Washington, D.C., is not the same race of those who founded our nation and created that city. The Antichrist Jews control it, and the non-whites run it. This is not only true for every state capital and large city in America, but also for every white Western nation throughout the world. Just visit one of these on a normal day. Such was Jerusalem, except on the feast days. For confirmation of this, read Acts, the second chapter. Yes, the masses on this Passover day were white Adamic Israelites from all over the world. These were the multitude caught up in the events of the day and misguided by the serpent-raced, Christ-hating Jews, just like today. This satanic devil race is in control of the world order and are attempting to destroy God's white race, control their mind, and you control the person. They teach lies and deceit, misdirect our thoughts away from the law of God into accepting their perverted political doctrines. Take everything we have, turn us into wage slaves, kill us off in wars, mongrelize us, destroy us from the face of the earth, seize our inheritance. These antichrists have the same plans for us that they carried out on our Christ. After the Last Supper, while in the Mount of Olives with his disciples, Jesus prays. Read this prayer, and Yahweh willing, you will understand some of the fundamental principles of God's plan, which are that Christ would give eternal life to as many as God had given him, that he had finished the work which God gave him to do, that Christ was with God before the world was, that he manifested God's name to those who God gave him, that these had been with God before the beginning of the world. Thine they are, and thine they were. That he is praying for them and not for the world. That he kept them in God's name, the Heavenly Father Yahweh, that he did not lose any except the son of perdition, which was only among them so the scriptures would be fulfilled, that the world hates these whom God gave Christ, just like it hates him, that they are not of the world, even as Christ was not of the world, that they are not to be taken out of the world, but that God should keep them from the evil which is in the world, that God must sanctify them through his truth, and that his word is truth, that even as God sent Christ into the world, he sent them into the world, that he is not praying for these alone, but also for all which shall believe on him through their word, that they are to be made perfect, that God loved Christ before the foundation of the world, that this is the love which God had with those which he gave Christ, that God, Christ, and they are one. No, I don't want to hear about Christian principles. I want to hear thus saith the Lord Yahweh. I don't want to hear about man's ethics. I want to know what God says we ought to do and how we ought to live. Man and this world order and the doctrine of man are the popular subjects of today and want to be discussed freely, but not the Word of God. No, that can never be discussed in open society. How many times have you heard you can't legislate morals? You can't legislate Christian principles? Well, thankfully to our Father Yahweh, His kingdom will be established not through their legislatures, not through this thing of government that exists today. God tells us that we are under the sentence of death, that we are in bondage, that we will only know sadness and sorrow and pain and death. That's what God says we come into this world with. It's only through His love, His mercy, His goodness, His grace, that He delivers us from this bondage of corruption, that He delivers us from death, that He quickens our mortal body. It is His work that He does in us. He's promised to do it for us, but we don't want to claim what God has for us. We want to go back to some meaningless statement made by men that we are entitled to these things. No, we're not entitled to anything except what God says He will do. This is the truth of God. This is what they do not want to hear. They don't want to hear about the foreknowledge of God. They don't want to hear about the predestination of God. They don't want to hear about the sovereign plan of God, the plan of God for this world. And it's not going to be happiness, and it's not going to be smiles and sunshine. The plan for this world is to subject it to the kingdom, principle, law of God. God's got the power to do it. He will do it. He's promised to do it. And we, as His children, as that heavenly race come into the world, it's our duty to stand for the kingdom of God in His righteousness, not adopt some wonderful saying that comes from man, some flowery principle called ethics or Christian principles, and in the name of all this, violate the very ordinances and commandments of Yahweh our Father. It's our duty to stand against all this, to become the witness, to be like these whom God gave Christ, that God knew in the heavens, that God sent into the world, not to be conformed to this world, but be separate from it, to bring in the wonderful, blessed kingdom of God. The whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have received the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of the body. Read what Paul says in Romans 8. There is a warfare going on. The church today is not about to tell you of this warfare. All they want to do is say, accept Jesus Christ, and it's all going to be wonderful. Well, you don't accept Jesus Christ. Your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, before anything that we know today existed. You were in the heavens with Yahweh, your Father. Our destiny, to come into the world, to be over the world, to administrate the law of God into the world. This is the fundamental principles of the plan of God. As Jesus Christ said, thine they were. They're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. He wasn't praying, Father, get them out of here. It isn't our destiny to go to heaven. If it was, we wouldn't have come here. God didn't send us here to get us out of here. We would have just stayed in the heavens. But we came to earth to establish God's divine principles. The kingdom of God. It's not a democracy of men. It's not a republic where everybody goes down and votes. This is God's kingdom. God will be the ruler. Christ will administer that kingdom, as said in Revelation, with a rod of iron, and he will break in pieces the nations. He will administer this kingdom, whether they vote for it or not, whether they want it or not, it will come. And then the whole creation will be delivered from this bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. The blessings that everyone's hoping they can find is the gift from God already. What the world needs is the kingdom of God. It'll be a lot better under the kingdom of God than these governments of the Antichrist Jew dictator controlling the whole world system. That's what we have today. We have the results of everybody's equal, that there's no difference. Everybody can have life and have it to the fullness and abundance. It's all a pipe dream. It's a carrot on a stick hung out in front of you and keeping you going on that treadmill that leads to death and destruction. Allow that spirit within you to be touched by the Spirit of God and quickened, made alive, that we remember who our Father is. No, it's not the guy that keeps the hog pen. He's not our Father. Think about the parable of the prodigal son. He didn't come to himself till he was down there eating the same slop that the hogs were eating, whatever they left. That's what he got. But he came to himself and he said, I don't have to live this way. No, you don't have to live this way. You don't have to live in the hog pen. Our Father has the greatest thing that's ever been conceived in the mind of men. But yet the mind of men is alienated from the law of God, from the kingdom of God, from the mercy of God. Now, they don't want to hear about God's predestination. They don't want to hear about his plan. They don't want to think about that God does the selecting. God does the choosing. God does the creating. He's the one that makes some vessels for wrath and destruction and some vessels for glory and honor. Just read in Romans 9, and he talks about the election of God. They want to elect them a Barack Obama or somebody like that. They want to go elect them some man. Well, God has his election, and it's got nothing to do with what's going on in the polling booths in our country today. You remember he recounts about Jacob and Esau, and before they were ever born, God said, Jacob I've loved, and Esau I've hated. Continue on reading in Romans 9, and you'll see that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. God didn't try to convert Pharaoh. All God wanted from Pharaoh was an adversary to stand up against him so he could destroy him and manifest his sovereignty, his power. And God did that for a people, his chosen people that lived with him in the heavens. He did it for the Israel people. Now, I'm not talking about the Jews. You know better than that. I'm talking about for the white, Adamic, Israel, Western civilization that the white race has brought into the earth. That's the Israel of the Bible. It always has been. God raises up his own adversary to destroy him, to manifest his power against them. You remember when they were children of Israel were coming out of Egypt, and then Pharaoh's army started coming after them, and they crossed the Red Sea, and God pulled the waters back. God told Moses, tell the people to stand still and see the deliverance of Yahweh. We got to get still. Our minds have to get still. We have to stand. And we will see the deliverance of Yahweh. But we don't want to stand. We want to run off in every direction. We don't want to wait upon the Lord and mount up with wings of eagles and run and not be weary and walk and not faint. There'll be people that'll say, oh, I don't believe in a God like that. God's not asking you to believe in him. God's telling you the way it is going to work. Jesus Christ said, all you that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Look at Christ. What did he do? How did he live? What was the work he had before him? Did Christ come and say, well, everybody's the same. I'll just go out and get me some disciples. All these other races are being led down into the pit of chaos, but it's not for them to see. It's not for them to have that spirit that they had with the Father in the heavens quickened in them, because they weren't with the Father in the heavens. But you were. The white Adamic race came into the earth. You're not a creation of this world. You weren't created. You were formed into the earth through Adam. We came here to establish God's kingdom on this earth. We were given the right to have dominion, but we abdicated. We didn't exercise that authority that God had given us. Well, now is the time to awaken, to arise, to exercise that authority. No matter how the other races perceive it, no matter what the anti-Christ-hating Jews say about it, it is for us to stand and deliver, thus saith the Lord. If they don't like your God, so be it. Paul says in Romans 9, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? God's in control. You know, Paul says in Romans 8 that we don't know how we should pray as we ought. If you read verse 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groaning, which cannot be uttered. Thankfully, God's Spirit is making intercession for us. God's Spirit is in communication with our spirit. And you begin to see, you become alive. You're no longer dead, but life begins. And that life brings light. And that light shines into the darkness of our mind, of our soul, of our spirit. And that spirit wells up within us a living water that quenches all our needs and desires. All these churches, they want you to send them money. They'll pray for you. And what do they pray for? You know, give me a car. Give me a good paying job. Give me health. Give me shoes. Give me clothing. Give me food. Give me wealth. Give me luxury. Give me all the joys that this old world can offer. Well, this old world offered Jesus all those joys, and he turned them down. And 1 John writes about all these joys. He talks about the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. God deliver us from this. Our prayers, may the Holy Spirit, the divine intervention of God, quicken our heart to where we then know we should pray for thy kingdom to come on earth. These are the things that we need to be praying for. God, fill me with your spirit and with your power. God, help me to stand. And having done all, to stand against the evil of this world and of this society. Now, who was Jesus praying for when he said, God, forgive them, for they know not what they do? He was praying for those who God had given him, the ones that existed in the heavens that came into the earth. I'm not praying to take them out of the world. I'm praying to keep them from the evil. Now, we are as they were, that the power of Yahweh Father is manifested through us, which has received the first fruits of that Spirit. Now, don't be blinded to the truth and led astray by the Jew propaganda that's coming from the government, society, and supposedly Christian churches. They are all puppets manipulated by this race of devil and are parroting the hellish lies of a one-worldism, an ecumenicalism, a Judeo-Christian heritage, the roundtable conference of Christians and Jews, and the universal brotherhood of man and the fatherhood of God. Yahweh God is the father of one race, the Adamic white race, and it is his family that is to establish his kingdom upon earth. The devil also is the father of one race, the satanic mongrel Jew race, and it is his evil family that will endeavor to keep its death grip upon the world. In the temptation of Christ, Satan showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. This is recorded in Matthew 4:8-9, and also in Luke 4:5-7, it says, and the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showeth unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. Proof positive, who possesses the kingdoms of the world, all the power and all the glory of them. Satan is free to give all this to whomsoever he will, but his price tag is to be worshipped as God. Is it any wonder that Satan's children and his worshipers have all this today? There is a constant parade of Jews and non-whites in every form of media. They have the wealth, the luxury, the prestige. They are touted as the authorities, experts, and superstar. The Bible says that their end is coming. But it's imperative to understand what is really going on today. In Revelation 17:17, it says, for God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and to give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God be fulfilled. Now remember, Jesus' last words on the cross were for the ignorant multitude, not for these plotting, devilish, satanic seed of the serpent Jews who blasphemed him, who murdered him, who incited a multitude against him through all their lies and deception and misinformation. His last words on the cross were for us. Cast off the works of darkness and walk in his marvelous light. Proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. And all those who don't like it can leave this very nation that was founded upon him. Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We're in a war today with the powers of this world, and the battle is between the families of light and the families of darkness. It is time to say, To them that are of fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Our people must hear the liberating truth. Live like the victory's ours. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Revelation 11:15. This is our destiny. The kingdom of God on earth, when all this satanic world control will be abolished, then the earth itself, the creature itself, shall be delivered from this bondage of corruption. We, the white Adamic race of God's family in the earth, are the only deliverance for this earth. Let's stand. Let's deliver. Let's quit being fearful and unbelieving, but pray that Spirit of Yahweh the Father moves upon our spirit to bring light into darkness, to bring liberty out of this bondage. Let's proclaim there's a right way that God commands us to walk in. Thus saith the Lord. This will be our deliverance. This is our only deliverance, and this is our hope. Yahweh said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. This is what Jesus was praying on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive us, Father, for we knew not what we did through embracing this satanic philosophy that has been spread upon us and throughout all the world. Father, forgive us for not standing up and saying, the Word of God, the name of Jesus Christ, shall be in every public institution in our nation. This is our salvation. This is our hope. This is what will turn darkness into light, and defeat into victory.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message, and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a
CD
of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com, type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.